Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, open your Bibles to Luke 18. You got to understand there's a lot of people that love God. Probably, I want to say it this way, there's probably a lot of people that love God more than me that have not had the blessing of hearing the message that we've heard. Yet they love God, and they're giving their whole life to God. And I admire people like that. But since they don't understand the message, they haven't been blessed. Let's say it this way. They haven't been blessed to hear what we've heard, okay? Then sometimes they don't accurately depict this message. And they may think they understand parts of it, but they don't. You can tell when they're talking that they don't. But it doesn't mean they don't love God. It doesn't mean they're our enemies or anything. But there are certain things that keep coming up here that we need to get straight. I say keep coming up. Whether you hear it at the church, somebody says it to you, or whether you hear it from a pulpit, whether you hear it from friends or well-meaning people out there, I see certain repetitive statements that if left unchecked, there are little seeds of doubt that eventually grow and people leave the whole church over. And even in these past few months, I've seen some people, they didn't really attend here, but they were definitely part of this message somewhere else. People I never, ever thought that the enemy would be able to separate from this message. And they're so separated, I'm not even welcome to visit in their house. You know? I mean, it's sad. It's so sad. And they're intelligent. They're smart. They've laid down many, many years of their lives for this message and to help. And still yet, little seeds somehow. So I just want to address some of them. Make sure that you understand that you're on a lifelong journey. So when are we ever going to arrive? You're not. Do y'all know anybody that has been completely conformed to the image of Christ? See, a date, and someone says, Pastor Dave, well, I'm following him because I see more of the image of Christ in him than I see of me. But if you had him here and said that, oh, Pastor Dave has arrived, boy, he'd be crawfishing real quick. You know, he'd be backing up from that. No. I don't know anybody like that. Yet that is the very purpose of God. We're going to look at that verse here tonight. That is the very purpose of God, all who believe on Christ, all who become the sons of God or daughters of God, his purpose is that we be conformed to the image of the firstborn. Well, that's Jesus. He is the Jesus that you see walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here's a man with the life of God on the inside, the Spirit of God, that life is on the inside of him. Yet he is clothed in mortal flesh, just like yours, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him to go about destroying the works of the devil everywhere he goes. Well, that's the pattern for new creatures. That's us. You have the life of God on the inside of you. You have have you noticed you're clothed in fallen flesh? I mean, I can tell mine's not glorified. I don't know about you, but I can tell mine's not. Yet we have the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us to go about undoing the works of the devil everywhere that we go. See, so it's the perfect pattern. Now, here's where we start getting into debate. So I'm just going to read you a few things, and we're going to look at some scriptures. First off, let's start here in Luke 18, because there is truth. Some of the things that have been said that I've heard, some of them here, some of them elsewhere, says anything that you think you have to grow into would indicate that you're always on a mission to get better and better through whatever efforts you can implore. There's always more you need to do and can do to get closer to maturity. It also implies that you can make yourself perfect. In that kind of a system, one would also always wonder every day if enough had been done. You'd always be trying to get somewhere else than where you are, always striving to attain more, and not very inclined to be content and thankful today. That sounds pretty reasonable, but it's just not scriptural at all. It is dangerous if you view prayer and meditation and assimilation and fasting the way this Pharisee did that we're about to look at here in Scripture. So let's look at this guy, starting in verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I like that. God wasn't even listening to this, but anyway. He's just praying with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, that Pharisee is a type of everyone who, under the law, felt like they were keeping the law. Their focus was on their obedience rather than on the sacrifice. And the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for God's mercy with those sacrifices, none of them would have survived, because nobody could keep the law. And if God had not instituted that animal sacrifice system so that the animal would die instead of them, they'd have all been toast. But see, a lot of them didn't see it that way. So you get religious minded. And so this guy is going to approach God based on his works. And this is where you can get in trouble with the message of the prayer center. If you're going to approach God like this guy did, like, okay, Lord, this week I prayed in tongues an hour every day. Did you hear me, God? 1 hour every day. On Tuesday, I ate no breakfast. Thursday, I read the whole book of Matthew. The whole book, God. Do you hear me, God? You need to, you know, if that is your approach, and if you think that God is moved by how many times you read the books, or how much you pray, or how much you fast, you are on an endless loop. There is no progress in that. You are totally over into works. You're just trying to impress God with your righteousness, and that is a fruitless journey that will take you nowhere. Now, if that's the approach that when people say those kind of things, if that's where your mind is, then I agree with that 100%. If your mindset is, I'm going to assimilate all the books 30 times and then God has to put me in ministry. No. Or I'm going to fast 40 days and that'll get her done. You know, my friend Jin Ho Kim, Pastor Kim over in Korea, he tells about the first time he finally made it. He says, I made it 1,000 times. I tried to fast 40 days. And he says, I finally made it. And I thought, surely after a 40-day fast, my flesh would be dead. You know what I found out? It resurrected the very next week. And I still had to contend with my flesh. It's a lifelong journey. It's not something that you're going to do for a little while and then arrive. We're going to be constantly being transformed into the image of Christ. Now, while we're here on this subject, let's talk about the man that went home justified. Because his prayer was, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Listen, there's no such thing as a born-again person who, in their heart, did not pray that prayer. You may not have said those words, but when you receive Jesus, you basically come to the end of yourself. I cannot make myself righteous. No matter how hard I try. That was the purpose of the law. It said it was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And you know, Israel proved to the whole world for hundreds of years. They tried to keep the law with best efforts. Men that love God. David loved God. Now, there's no two ways about it. And with all of his best efforts, he still fell. And thank God there was animal sacrifice. And the purpose was to teach all of mankind, You better come to God like this. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And he does at the new birth. See, Paul wrote in Romans 10, 11, right in there, 9, 10, or 11. He said, God concluded the whole world under sin. Why? That he could have mercy on them all through Christ. That's the mercy of God. Well, when you got born again, that's when you basically prayed that prayer, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I need Jesus. I need a Savior. I can't do it on my own. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's exactly what God did. And you were born again. But see, when that happens, there is something instant that happens, all right. You are literally born of God's Spirit. It was prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel that God is going to, at that moment, he takes out that old stony heart and he replaces it with a heart of flesh that can be molded and can hear him and be tender in his hands, that he was going to take out that old stony heart. And that happens instantaneously. You do get a new spirit created in an instant from the get-go, right on the inside of you. No, you are not born again. The analogy is perfect. You are not born again all-knowing. You're born again as a little child. You have to learn how to develop that reborn spirit of yours. In the process, there is a renewing of the mind. And it's more than just the mind. It is everything that comprises what we call the soul, your emotions. There's a healing of memories that needs to take place. There's all kinds of maturing, but that doesn't happen in an instant. You're born again in an instant. I didn't prepare verses, but you know they're in there. You're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You're translated. Jesus says you will not come into condemnation. You have passed from death unto life. That all happens instantly, but there is a maturing process. So let's look at some of these scriptures. You can go ahead. Yeah, let's go ahead and turn to these. There's not that many of them. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. You're very familiar with it. And I could have come up with dozens and dozens of these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. It doesn't sound to me like they were born again, all knowing. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So this shows us that when you're first born again, you know, you're born again. I mean, God loves you. Hey, I'm an old hand at children and grandchildren now. I can change diapers with the best of you. Okay? I've changed my share, paid my dues. And I'll tell you, with babies comes messes. With babies comes messes. Ask any pastor that has a real evangelistic outreach and have all these new baby Christians come in. You better know how to deal with messes. But just because the babies make messes, you don't throw them out. You know, you love the babies. You got to deal with the messes. Clean them up more than once. And help them mature and grow, you know, okay? Let's go on in the same book over to chapter 14. Just another verse that I like right here. And just look at verse 20, just one verse. It says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice, be you children. But in understanding, be men. I'm going to turn there myself because, see, that's our chapter on tongues. So that's verse 20. Okay. Let's back up just to verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. Now, if you really back up in this chapter, all the way back up to the first parts of it, let's start in verse 2 here of chapter 14. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He that prophesies, he speaks unto men, to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. And let's stop right there for a minute. If you've been through Dave's series on tongues for the believer and those other foundational series that he has about tongues, he goes in great detail about this passage. Remember, he says in the early days, well, I read here, it says that if you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. And he looked up that word edify, and it's like an electrical charge. You're charging yourself up. So he said, so when I'm praying in other tongues, is it like the Holy Ghost hooks a set of battery cables to me? Left ear negative, right ear positive, praying tongues, edified, you know. Is that what's going on? No, he says what's happening, it's those mysteries that's being communicated. So you separate yourself. You yourself begin speaking in an unknown tongue, just praying hour after hour, letting the Holy Spirit teach you the understanding of those mysteries. Then as you begin to understand those mysteries, then you can come out and you can speak to the whole church in their known language. First, you got edified, but then he'll use you to speak to the church, and now you can edify the whole church with what the Holy Ghost taught you, which is exactly what I'm doing here tonight. That's what he's talking about. So over here, when he says, This is in the same chapter, but he says, "When in your understanding be men." You don't think that's connected with praying in other tongues? Sure, it's connected. That's why it's in this chapter. He's going, look, I would that you all speak with tongues. I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Where do you think Paul got that revelation knowledge? Praying in the Holy Ghost. See, and if we went back to Luke 18 right now, that Pharisee that prayed and fasted and gave and all of that, the one thing he did not have a born-again spirit. He did not have the ability to yield himself over and allow the Holy Ghost to begin, basically come to the end of yourself. See, I don't even trust myself to understand God's word anymore. I gave up on that years ago. I don't trust Gary. Gary can be wrong. Gary, with his best efforts and trying not to be wrong, can be completely wrong. I've come to the end of Gary trying to figure this out. I gave up on trying to figure it out a long time ago. I'm just going to pray it out. I put my hand in the hand of somebody a lot smarter than me and said, you lead the way. See, that's why when people make that statement, says it implies you can make yourself perfect. It's really just the opposite. I come to the end of trying to make myself perfect. How about you guys? I gave up. I can't love Sue more. I've tried. It don't work. I've tried my best, you know. I mean, I love her a lot, but I don't love her like Christ. But he loves her that way. Well, if I yield myself over to the Holy Ghost and let him conform me to the image of Christ, then I'm giving up trying to perfect myself. I put my hand over in somebody else who's interested in my perfecting or my maturing to grow up into that image of Christ. See? Amen? All right. Let's go on to Philippians chapter 3. This same person that said that says, I submit that when you go to bed at night, it is far wiser to go to bed believing in the ideal that you are currently mature because you are in Christ and Christ is living his life through yours. Well, it depends on what you mean by that again, see. Now, I believe it's wise to believe that God through you can do anything. And I think he can do that when you're a baby. I think a lot of times baby believers have more faith than those of us that's been around a while. They haven't had time to be corrupted by false teaching. Jesus is big in their eyes and God can do everything. And sure, I'll pray for your cat and God will heal it. And sometimes it happens, you know, glory to God. And we're going, God does not heal cats. And they're going, yeah, he does. Watch this. You know. If that's what you're talking about, I'm all for that. See, because the gifts of the Spirit can flow through the tiniest baby. The very book that we have that tells about the gifts of the Spirit is that letter to the babies, 1 Corinthians. That's and he says you come behind in no gift. So even while their understanding lacked maturity, still yet on the inside God was big. Now, if that's what you're talking about, I'm all for that. But see, to start thinking that, well, I've arrived, I'm mature. You can think that if you want to. I'm on a journey myself. I am maturing. I thank God that I don't think like I did even a year ago. I sure thank God I don't think like I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Well, Paul, see, he was on the same journey. You'd think, now, if anybody had arrived, where do we get most of this information out of the New Testament? Didn't Paul write most of it? And yet Paul says about himself, starting in verse 10, he says his goal was to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, he's not just talking about the death of the cross there. Paul is the same one that wrote, I die daily. You know, he faces death every day. Well, how did he come to that place? He had to spend enough time with the Holy Spirit to go through the process of what we call mortification and edification, where the Spirit is taught and built up. You become more and more like the Spirit. You think and act in line with the new creature on the inside. And that old way of thinking more and more is put to death. And he's saying, that's my goal. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Well, his death is not just the death on the cross. Jesus had to suffer in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. Now, there's the death to self right there. Not my will, but thine be done. And what does Paul say? That he arrived? See, he says, if verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect. No, either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But Paul's still on this journey. Years and years and years into his ministry, he's still on this journey, and that's because it's a lifelong journey. You know? I don't know of anybody that's completely conformed to the image of the Son. Paul said of himself, follow me as I follow the Lord. Well, we're following Dave as he follows the Lord, you know? I cringe a little when I hear Alan say he's following me as I follow the Lord. I want to go follow Dave. Do not follow me. You follow Dave. Anyway, but Paul said about it, he didn't say, I go to bed at night, I go to bed with the attitude I'm fully mature. He says, no, I don't count myself to have apprehended. But notice what he does do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now that's got a whole lot to do with crucifying that old man. It's also got to do with having some faith in 1 John 1:9 that even the mistakes and the sins you made yesterday. Mary, have you made any mistakes this month? A few? Come here, sister. We're sisters. I'll tell you, we joined at the hip here. I'll tell you what. Now, me too. You know? And thank God for the blood. Have some faith in the blood of Jesus that is still on that mercy seat. Paul says, I have to forget those things which are behind. Okay? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, there's a pressing involved. Yes, there is more prayer to do. Yes, there's more fasting to do. Not in the sense of impressing God, not in the sense of I'm going to read Matthew 30 times and then God's going to reward me. Dave said it best. He always says it best. He said, look, it's not that 40-day fast or even the one-day fast that impressed God. You didn't impress him at all. He says, it is the change that happens that he fellowships with. See, let's just take praying in tongues. I used to think the hundredfold return was right and Luke 6:38, the way they teach it, you know, you give your $10 in the offering bucket and God will give back to you and on and on and on. Now, all of those, I used to think all those things till I started praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's really the only thing that changed. I mean, I was stuck in the trucks. I couldn't be reading my Bible more. You know, I was just praying. I know what it was that caused the change. And the Holy Spirit began line upon line, one little thing at a time, taking all of that apart. He had to tear down all of that false doctrine. Then he had to start relaying the new bricks in my understanding. And my understanding changed, and God fellowships with me based on the difference in how I think now and how I thought then. He gives me instructions now he never could have gave me then, because I'd have been more interested in my return than blessing the sheep. But his heart is blessing the sheep. He fellowships with that change. Same with fasting. Same with the reason that assimilation is such a powerful tool. It equips you for day and night meditation. You become that tree planted by the rivers of water. Meditates in his word day and night. You become that tree. Assimilation helps you become that tree because now you have equipped your soul with the word of God. You may not have it memorized or anything, but boy, it's in there, you know. That brain that God gave us is a mighty thing. Now your spirit doesn't sleep, and so even in the night seasons, you can be meditating the word of God. I wake up sometimes almost tired from the battles I fought over Jericho. You know, or some other battle out there with Amalek. My God, I need to go to bed, and I just got up. I was in one of those meditation periods during the night, and revelation knowledge comes. See, well, we're on a journey, and I wanted you to see Paul. Even at Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, he didn't count himself to have apprehended. He says, "No, I'm on this journey," and that's the same Paul that says, "I pray in tongues more than you all." Thank God he prays in tongues more than you all. All right, go to Romans 8, verses 28 and 29 just for a minute. When it comes to assimilation, this statement was made recently. Some people have the attitude like, okay, every time I read one of the books, I'm more spiritually mature. Well, that's kind of like the guy that we read there in the Pharisee in Luke 18. Like you're impressing God with the number of times you read the books. I'm not as other men. I've read Matthew 18, you know, 30 times. That's not the way it is. No, listen. Y'all do know the reason that we have 70, I don't know how many thousand flavors of Christianity. Just look in your yellow pages of your phone book under church. And there's so many denominations and then subsets within denominations. What is the reason for that? Man, finite man, trying to figure out an infinite God with a finite mind. It's arrogance to the 10th power. That's why God sent us a teacher. I love how Dave teaches it. Look, you could take two guys with just give them a King James Bible or give them a real Bible. Well, Dave's sitting in the back, so anyway. So, yeah. And you set them down, you know, they agree. You know, one's going to go down one side of the Amazon, the other one's going to go down the other side of the Amazon. They're going to meet up later, 30, 40 years down the road, and they covenant with each other. They're going to read their Bible, and they're going to pray in tongues a certain amount of hours every day. 40 years later, those two guys meet up. They start comparing notes. They are going to believe the same things. They're going to believe those verses the same way. Why? Because they had the same teacher. They didn't try and figure it out with their little limited noodle. They put their hand in the hand of the one God sent to teach the body of Christ, and that's the Holy Ghost. See, you came too late to tell me that praying in tongues will put you on an endless loop. An endless loop implies you go on this journey, and it's a loop, which means you come back around to where you started again, and there was no progress. No, that's not the way it is at all. This is not an endless loop. It is a lifelong journey. It is more like what was the guy's name? Bunyan? John Bunyan wrote A Pilgrim's Progress. I read that way back in high school. Don't even ask me how many years ago that was. That was almost a half a century ago when I read that. But I still remember it. And I remember that it was a journey upwards. And he had to, going up a mountain, and they had to conquer all of these different things. There was pride. There was ego. There was selfishness. There was all these different things. And if I remember correctly, the worst one, though, the one that, even at the very top of the mountain, it was the deepest. They said their tentacles of this thing went deep, if I remember correctly. And finally, when the Holy Spirit was able to rip that one out, finally the man started, you know, really, you know, coming more alive. You know what it was? What the tentacles was? Human love. Self-love. That was the hardest one of all and the deepest roots of all. That one had to come out and be replaced with the love of God. What's Dave been talking about for the last 3-4 years? It's that last, it's not really a limb, it's the trunk of the tree that holds all the other limbs. It is the love of God. See? But behind that door is everything that we've been looking for. We're getting closer and closer to it. So it's not an endless loop. See, I'm going to take you back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. You'll get to this in a minute. It's a question. Somebody asked Dave a question one time. Says, I can't get my children to pray. I've tried everything in the world. Would it work if I paid them so much an hour to pray in tongues? Now you think, well, that your religion steps in. Well, of course that wouldn't work. I mean, you know, what, you're going to bribe your kids? You're going to pay your kids to pray in other tongues? You think God would honor that? It will work. Absolutely it will work. Why? Because if they're genuine, now they may start off with all wrong motives. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to make $5 an hour. Nowadays, I don't know what it'd be. $10 an hour praying in other tongues. You know, I don't know what it would be. And so that's their whole motive, you know, and they're going to spend it on bad stuff when they get it. You know, the next rock and roll CD or whatever it is. But it would still work. See, because if it's really other tongues, praying in other tongues is as supernatural as raising the dead. You can't do it on your own. It is the Spirit of the living God creating those syllables, creating those sentences, creating those paragraphs, and he is literally praying through you. Everything Christ is in you, to you, through you. He's praying the understanding of the Word of God. So they can start off with absolutely wrong motives. Ha, $10 an hour. They keep at it. If you can afford it, and they keep at it. What will happen? The Holy Ghost, he will start changing their hearts. He'll start doing what only he does, and that's remolding every believer into the image of the firstborn, which is where we are in Romans 8. Look at verses 28 and 29. Now, you know that most people lift this first part out of its setting. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But just remember the verses we just went through was the Holy Spirit. He also helps our infirmities. We know not what to pray for as we ought. But he makes intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God. And he does it with groanings that cannot be uttered. Why can't they be uttered? Because you don't even know what to pray for as you ought. You don't know what's wrong with you. You don't know what your calling is. You don't know why you keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. He knows all of that. And while you're yielding over to the Holy Spirit and he's making that intercession for you in with tongues that you couldn't utter in your articulate speech, it says while that's going on, you can know everything being prayed right there is working for your good. And God has a purpose. Notice it says, it's working for your good according. Let me read it exactly. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You're about to find the very purpose of God. What is this all about? What is this new birth, maturity, growing up, conforming? What is all that about? What is God's purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I want to read that to you out of the Amplified. It says, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning. He made a decision from the very beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. That's what this is all about. Well, it happens all at once. You should just go to bed at night thinking you're mature and that's it, and you've got it all and you don't really need to pray anymore. Well, let's go on over to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now, you know we could do a whole series on this. We're skimming a stone across the pond here. We're hitting the highlights, okay? Now, in the King James, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that's better translated mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, but now notice, from glory to glory. It's progressive, not all at once, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me read that one to you out of the Amplified. It is so clear. The reason I like the Amplified, they bring out tenses in the Greek that we don't really have always in the King James. It says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Do you see that? From one degree of glory to another. It's progressive. This understanding of our message is why you've heard me say many times, there is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues. It's not an endless loop. It is a lifelong journey. And you say, well, I only was able to pray 30 minutes today. I only got 30 minutes. Glory to God. You did something today as supernatural as raising the dead. You allowed God himself, God the Holy Ghost, to make intercession for you according to the perfect plan of God. At least for that 30 minutes, you can know everything in God's heaven and earth was working together for your good to cause your feet to walk on the path that he foreordained for you before the world began. Instead of going, I only prayed 30 minutes. You prayed 30 minutes. Now tomorrow, let's make it an hour. I do believe that I do want to pray more. Okay, last analogy. I became an engineer, certified. Got a certificate from Oklahoma State University industrial engineering in 1969. Now, when I started that in 1965, I didn't, trust me, you did not want to drive across a bridge that I designed, okay? I wasn't qualified. I did not have the training. You didn't want to, You know, I didn't know anything about metallurgy. I didn't know anything about kinetic energy, potential energy, static energy. I didn't know anything about calculus, algorithms, differential equations. I didn't know any of that. I said, sure, I'll design you a bridge, drive across that. No, I don't think I will. But, see, and now that college course there, how do you do it there? Well, you go and you have to attend the classes. You have to understand the mysteries of metallurgy. You have to understand the mysteries of kinetic energy. You have to understand, and they give you a books, well, a lot of books. They give you books and teachers, not just books, not just teachers. They give you books and teachers. They got that idea from God. But after, you know, 4.5 years, it's a 5-year curriculum. I finished it in 4.5 years. I carried like 18 credit hours every semester. I went there to work. And at the end, I took all the tests. I passed all the tests. They gave me a diploma. And I'm now approved to do that kind of work. Well, bring that analogy. Now, see, I finished that. See, I could have gone on. There's more beyond bachelor's degree. I could have gone on to a master's. I could have gone on to a doctorate. You could go on, I guess, into research and development. You know, it could be a lifelong journey there, too, if you chose to go that direction. But let's bring that analogy over here. See, we're trying to become, in my case, a teacher. I'm supposed to be a teacher in the body of Christ. Well, the trouble is when I started praying in tongues in that truck, the stuff I would have teach. Without a would have teached. That's the way Lily says it. The stuff I would have teached would have been all wrong. Because I had wrong understanding. I had wrong doctrine. I'd been taught by false teachers. In the body of Christ. Ravening wolves. And so, you know, I needed a book and a teacher. Well, thank God, Dave pointed me to the teacher. He didn't try and take the Holy Spirit's place. He says, let me point you to the teacher. And so, you know, now, fortunately, God had me in a job where basically anybody that wanted to pray a lot, I was basically paid to pray. So, man, I was 45 the day we first walked through the doors of the church, so I didn't have decades to waste, you know. Well, sure enough, I began teaching. I began praying, and he began tearing down the false mysteries and giving me the new ones. Now, going back to the engineering analogy, you don't have to carry 18 hours a semester. You can carry 9. Well, you don't have to finish in 4.5 years either. You can finish in 9. Well, what if you only carry 4.5 hours a day? I don't know if they'd allow that. Well, you could finish that degree in 18 years, you know. I mean, so to me, the analogy is this. Look, there is a lot to understand. I'm messed up in ways. Don't be following me. I'm telling you, don't be following me. But yeah, I want to pray more. I want to fast more. I want to assimilate. I'm interested in assimilating the word 10 more times now. Not just 30. I want to go for 40 now. See? And yeah, why? I've only got, it was 120 years. I'm already 64. You know, I need to get on with it. Amen? But I don't have anything in me that, yes, one day is coming when I'm going to arrive. Honey, I've already arrived when it comes to, I'm accepted in the beloved. I am his favorite no matter what you think. I don't care what Ann says. I am his favorite. You know, he loves me the most. Sorry. I'm so secure in his love. I am so secure. It's not anything like, oh, you know, he's displeased with me. He is your biggest fan. He looks at me like I look at Lily. Man, I mean, you know, like I remember when she took those first little steps and took about, Cole was the same way when he took his, you know, took about 2 steps and then fell. Man, I didn't run over there. Well, I'm so disappointed in you. You only took 2 steps and fell. No parent does that. No grandparent does that. You go, oh, you did so good. Get back up there. Come on, do it again. Come on, do it again. I'll give you ice cream. Come on. That's more like it is with God. You are the light of his life. You're the apple of his eye. He has your picture on his refrigerator, if you'll allow me. He's in your camp. He's rooting for you. And every hour you give him, don't you think he takes it lightly? He knows the whole world is after your time. He knows that the devil is after your time. And don't think he takes it lightly. He does not. It is not an endless loop. You're not coming back around with no progress. It is a lifelong journey. Lifelong journey. See, once you understand those mysteries, it'd be really hard to misunderstand them again. They're going to have a hard time with that hundredfold return with me. I'm past manipulating with that. Even if you quit praying for a while, you don't lose the revelation knowledge. That's why Paul said in that, if I'd have finished up over there, he said, where we have attained, let us therefore walk. Well, hey, I don't think like I used to, thank God. I'm going to walk in the understanding I have. But I could just stop and finish out my days here. But that's just, my hunger won't let me. See, you got to go. It's not a matter of duty, it's a matter of hunger. Got to feed that hunger on the inside. Anyway, it is not an endless loop. A loop indicates that it keeps bringing you back where you started and no progress is being made. The truth is, it is a lifelong journey. It is a lifelong path of transformation, little by little. You are being changed into that same image. There is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. That's enough for tonight. I think we got it now.